Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Peter.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, Ben.
Happy Video Game Saturday to you, my dude.
Thank you. It happens every week. It's Saturday, and we can, if we want to, play a game today.
But not today when we're recording, because it's not Saturday today.
No, but the people who are listening on release day, or in a factor of 7 days afterwards.
Yes, and then there's a cutoff.
Yeah.
And then nobody can listen anymore.
Ever.
Ever.
Except on those 7 day intervals.
Yes.
Only listen on Saturdays.
On the anniversary.
Yeah.
In a year's time, you'll be able to do this whole thing again. This, as we said, is a video game podcast where we talk about video games and stuff. And we are sponsored every single show by a different company.
Mm.
I don't know why.
I
don't know why we can't keep down our sponsor for a while.
Maybe if you just, the pressure's on, but if you do this read properly for whoever is sponsoring, I don't know, sponsoring us this week, then, you know, it's all on you, Ben. Sell this slot.
No pressure, huh?
Yeah.
No pressure, huh?
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 Hello?
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Oh, no.
What was that noise? Introducing, I'm holding it right here.
Yeah, that. Mm.
There it is. Hang on. I'm holding it right here.
Yeah.
It's Kratos beard oil.
Oh.
And can you hear that?
Is that from inside?
It's you never take off the lid.
Right.
Because then it's full of it's got an extra 50 worth of Spartan rage in it.
No, no.
And you don't want, basically it makes your beard really good.
Does all the hair fall out of the top of your head though?
You lose all the hair off the top of your head and you do murder your wife and children.
Oh, Jesus.
In an Ares inspired rage.
And hate.
To prove your loyalty.
Hate your one remaining son.
And then there's just an emotional distance, and you do sort of like the Keanu Reeves hover hand.
Mm.
But it, like you're going to pet the child, because that's what you do to children.
You just pet them.
You pet the child. But then you pull away and you don't pet the child.
Yeah.
Thus cementing. Oh. Goodness. And I shook it up a bit though. I put it down.
And you don't even call him by his name. You just call him boy the whole time.
Yes, exactly.
Boy.
Identity equals boy the entire time. So that's the Kratos beard oil.
Oh.
It's really furious. It's got extra Spartan rage in it. It's really spicy.
It's like that caffeine shampoo, isn't it? But it's like testosterone beard oil instead.
Yeah, bollocks.
Yeah.
It's bollocks.
Boswell ox.
So you can buy that right now. I'm going to put this over here.
Hmm.
Except you can't, because that was a camera battery. It's a lie.
You got me.
I got you all.
Yeah.
This might be why we can't hold down a sponsor, is because
they're not actually real.
They're not real at the end. Yeah. No, in fact, this Triple Jump podcast is brought to you by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you support us at any tier, that's even $1 a month, then you can submit questions to the show. In fact, all the questions submitted this week are from patrons. So if you'd like to join that elite,
basically,
you know how.
This podcast today is brought to you by you, is kind of what you're... If you're a patron, it's brought to you by you.
Yeah.
If you're listening right now, this is only coming to your ears because of you and
because
your support.
You did this.
Yeah, you did.
How could you?
God.
First question, Peter.
Yeah.
It comes from Duncan Wilson.
It does. I just, that little sort of crack in my voice because I just saw his surname and tried just to not.
We've heard from Duncan before.
Yeah.
But Is it weird that I also, when I was putting together the running order, I thought, Duncan's Wilson.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I mean, it's only funny because that's in our lexicon as well. Like, most people, not everyone, but most people don't say Wilson for a Willie.
For a William.
But we decided that that's, like, the go-to word. And Wilson. Now, Duncan Wilson.
Duncan's Wilson.
Who can Wilson? Duncan Wilson.
Duncan Wilson.
Yeah.
However... We won't hear from Duncan again because he's cancelled his Patreon support because we just took the make out of his last name.
Oh, sorry, Duncan.
Dear Bearded Ben, Kratos Beard Oil,
and
Tiny Peepers.
Kratos Smallness.
Kratos Boy Oil. Oh, no, I don't like that one. Boil. In a cheap Poundland knockoff style of Snog, Marry, Avoid, EA, Activision and Ubisoft keep, downsize or destroy?
Good question. I've got a definitive answer for this, and I can justify every one of them really well.
Do you want to talk me through that then?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
I would keep Activision because they currently own the rights to Spyro the Dragon and Crash Bandicoot,
okay.
And they're sort of kind of finally doing stuff with them that isn't sacrilegious.
Mm.
They might now just stop, now that they've made CTR and Insane Trilogy and Spyro, the original trilogy, they might now just go back to Skylanders. But at the moment, they're treating them fairly respectfully. Mm. And if Activision disappeared and those rights went to someone else, it would be a roll of the dice as to whether they were going to be, you know, used properly. I would downsize Ubisoft because I quite like some of the things that they do, but they just make so many stupid shooter games. And they recycle so many concepts over and over again that I feel like if you just rein it in,
just
like,
calm down, Eve.
Choose like two games.
Eve, slow down.
Please, Eve. And, you know, just choose a couple of games. Work on those. Mm. You've got all the time and resources in the world if you're just focusing everything on those couple of games. So you can actually come up with new innovative stuff rather than actual recycled animations. Which they do in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
And finally, I would destroy EA because that is someone who I think should have Star Wars taken off them and given to someone else who might use it more respectfully.
Right.
As opposed to Activision and my mascot platformer boys. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's exactly what
fair
I
enough.
Think quite strongly in all cases.
That's fair.
What about you?
I've got to say, I'm not a huge fan of any of these companies. Mm. I'd say some are more destructive than others.
I agree.
I've actually elected to keep Ubisoft.
Okay.
Because while they don't make a damned thing that I care about anymore, because they did, Far Cry 3, this kind of works. Let's do that forever, every year.
Mm.
Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed 2's pretty good. Oh, Brotherhood's great. Revelations is fine. Assassin's Creed 3 is a little bit worse. Let's keep doing these. Oh, make them bigger?
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep doing that every year forever.
Complicate the modern day story to the point where people get so mad with it that we have to suddenly wind it back and just make it cutscene only?
I don't want it. I don't care about Splinter Cell. I don't care about Tom Clancy's gun fetish game
Rip. 9.
Rest in peace, Tom. I just don't care about anything they make. I don't like Rabbids.
No.
I'm trying to think of an Ubisoft game that I enjoy. Trials, maybe? But even then, that's just, you know, I don't mean to patronize, it's not little, but you know what I mean. It's not a big budget AAA release.
No.
When you're talking about their big franchises, there's nothing that Ubisoft makes that makes me think, oh, maybe I will. Or maybe I won't, because I have a life outside of games and I want it to be respected. And I don't want to have to pre-order one of 12 different early access models that comes with digital nubbins.
However,
where
I suspect you're going with this is that they at least are not infamous for their malpractice.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So they are saved by virtue of not being bad enough in this instance. Let's talk about downsizing Activision, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
Because Activision, I feel like, is, alongside EA, one of the wealthiest and most despised video game companies.
Mm.
And I know that everything they do is an insidious sort of just an insidious method of lining their shareholders' pockets.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Their board of directors making them obscenely wealthy. That's why you get your microtransactions added into Crash Team Racing after all the reviews are in. That's mm-hmm. why Call of Duty has a ton of different modes, and some of them allow you to buy things with real money, and they know that people will, and so on and so forth. And they have lots of series like that. But yeah, you're right. They've got the mascot platformers. Mm-hmm. That's nice. I don't dislike Call of Duty. I'm actually looking forward to the new one. You know, I liked Tony Hawk's. I don't know if that'll ever come back. Mm. They've got stuff, basically, they've got franchises that I like.
And they've done good things in the past as well that they don't necessarily own anymore. But yeah. You know.
EA, however, they're the cartoon villains of the video game industry. Yeah. And sometimes it's a bit unfair. But if you're comparing the three companies and the amount of talented development studios that EA has just destroyed, either through poor management or just stupid business decisions.
Yeah.
It's that alone gets them thrown right in the bin from my perspective. But then when you look at their actual franchises, and I start to wonder if there's anything that I would miss if EA disappeared forever.
Yeah.
What do they make?
That's what I mean. Like, if they disappeared, you know, they don't own Star Wars, they just have the rights to make the game. So the license would just go to someone else.
I don't care about Battlefield. I don't care about FIFA. I don't care about the sports games.
No.
I mean, I know people would miss them, but I wouldn't.
The Sims.
The Sims, I suppose, but the Sims isn't what the Sims was.
No.
You know, again, that's been sort of diluted to the point where it's almost unrecognizable.
Yeah, no, I know some people would miss it, but at this stage, I wouldn't.
So. Screw EA.
Yeah.
Anyway, EA, if you'd like to reply to our emails and send us review copies,
I would really appreciate that.
But in a hypothetical situation where you would be thrown in the bin forever, get in there.
Get in that bin.
In that bin. Thank you, Duncan's Wilson. Peter, it's time for a section that is both groundbreaking and extremely arousing.
Scarlet Fire.
It's time for What We Playing, peeps. What are you playing?
What are we playing? I don't know. I've never had one, but I've certainly this week been enjoying. In fact, I pretty much completed in one sitting.
No.
Rugrats Search for Reptar.
Really made me wait for that one
on PlayStation 1.
Was this a worst game?
No. Yes, it wasn't an actual worst game.
No, we did studio
game.
Tour, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I mean the point, like it could have been a worst game, but I just played it on stream instead.
Nice.
I used to own it. And so there's enough of a nostalgia factor and me knowing what I'm doing that it's sort of okay enough that I was happy to sit and just enjoy the horrible face textures, you know, the weird voice acting, the strange music. But yeah, it was I think came before the one that we played, Studio Tour. I think it came before that.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember you saying on the episode that it has a lot of mechanics that are just recycled straight over.
But arguably, I think the first one was more interesting. There are some, like, genuinely interesting levels that... Do you remember the problem with Studio Tour is it was very repetitive. It was rinse and repeat. Like, you would go into a mini game and it would be like, hey, round up the chickens, and then round two. Hey, round up the chickens and the rabbits. Hey, round up the chickens and the rabbits, but now they're moving around.
Oh.
And then there was that bit where you were searching for all those reptar bars as Angelica.
Rawr. Rawr.
Just constantly.
Awful.
But the game that I played on stream the other day was basically every level is pretty different to the one that came before it. You do one where you go to a toy shop. There's one where you're in a supermarket and you're a lost baby in a supermarket.
Okay.
There's one where you end up on the ceiling and the house is upside down.
Oh.
There's a really scary one where it's nighttime and your nightlight is running out of battery and there's all these ghosts coming
out.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Sounds appropriate.
And
yeah.
relevant, there's one with a goose in it that is quite sort of scary and violent.
Goose in it?
Yeah. It's the original untitled goose game.
My goodness.
Yeah.
My gooseness.
So... That was a little trip. I'm quite enjoying playing all these like old PS1 games on stream. It also gives me something to talk about when I've just been playing more Uncharted.
Right.
At home on my PlayStation.
How are you getting on with Uncharted? You on 3 yet?
Yeah, I'm on 3 now.
Nice.
I'm like halfway through. I'm enjoying it.
You played, what's it called? The one, that other one. Lost Legacy.
Lost Legacy.
Yeah.
Mm.
What did you think of that one?
I liked it. I kind of feel like that bit where you were driving around in that semi-open, well, not open world, but you know the kind of non-linear bit where
big
there's
field.
Various towers to go to in any order. That kind of, in my head, just took forever.
Right.
Like, I feel like that was 8 hours of game time, even though it wasn't.
Yeah, it did extend the game, didn't it?
And when I think about it, just driving round and round in that area, it just makes me think, oh, I didn't really like that game. But I did, you know, it was an Uncharted game and it felt like one. I prefer playing as Drake, not because the women are women.
Peter Austin confirmed sexist.
Sexualist. But I just like Drake as a character, you know.
Yeah.
I do like Chloe. I don't know about, what's she called, Nadine?
Yeah, Nadine.
She's just a bit grumpy.
Ross.
Nadine Ross.
Yeah.
She's a little bit grumpy.
I really liked it. Like, I really liked that game.
Where do you rate
game.
It? In...
I think it was underrated, personally. It was one of the lower scoring Uncharted games.
Yeah, but out of the five big ones, we don't talk about the PSP.
Vita.
Vita.
I was going to ask, you haven't played Golden Abyss, have you?
No.
You need to borrow my PlayStation TV so you can play it at home.
Your PSP, and it won't work on that because it's not out on PSP.
No, you'll try and shove a cartridge into the expansion bay. That's a naughty video you shouldn't look for as well.
Right.
Out of the five big ones, yeah, so there's... Yeah, there are. It was technically the fifth big one, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so yeah, that's the...
I
including
would
that
say,
one.
From worst to best, it for me, it goes Uncharted 1, 3,
yeah.
Lost Legacy,
okay,
2,
and
then 4. And I know that 2 reviewed better than 4, but you put them side by side.
Nah,
my God, like, how can you... Oh,
4 is just...
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it really
it's
is.
Such a brilliant game.
Because I felt like going into playing the trilogy, I knew, oh, 2's great. I remember 2 being really good. I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. And then I played it. I was like, yeah, that was really good. It was way better than 1. And, you know, it yeah, good. But I'd since
not,
I played
not
it
happy
last.
About it.
Well, since I played it last, I played number 4. And I was like,
right.
Yeah, this series still goes places, though, from here on in.
It really does. You know? I'm so excited for the future of that series as well.
Yeah.
Whatever that may hold, it'll be exciting. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you're enjoying those. I bet you're really excited to get onto number 4 again.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Such a.
It's just a movie from start to finish, isn't it?
It's formidable. Yeah. Although that does have some sort of open, linear-y bits when you've got the boat and you can jump off it and stuff. Anyway, that's a great game. It's a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. I have been playing more Borderlands 3.
Oh, yeah?
I played it actually predominantly in split screen. I went away over the weekend, as we discussed on last week's show, actually, that I was going away and you were also away. And not together. That would be... inappropriate, wouldn't it? We'd have to sign all sorts of work release forms.
God.
So I brought a PS4 and I played Borderlands in split screen for the first time. Oh boy.
With your mother?
With my mother. No, for the last time I wasn't with family, Peter.
Oh, yeah, I remember where you were.
No, I was there with my buddy. And we played Borderlands 3 and the split screen is not good.
Oh, no.
Because the menu... The menu system, as I've spoken about before, is for me the key source of performance issues.
Mm.
It's so slow and laggy, and
still
like,
an issue.
Yeah, it's still an issue, and it's kind of mental that this was ever okayed, and I don't know why it was released. I'm still really liking the game, I should say, and I actually, when I was playing it through in split screen, I didn't continue my playthrough because I knew that it wasn't very good in split screen,
right.
So I started a new game. With different characters, so I could experience it with, you know, playing in a different character. And there's a clip. It was my friend's PS4, so it's saved to his PS4. But there's a clip where he is, he's got the menu open and he's just cycling between tabs, and it shows the second player, me, trying to move around, and it just can't do anything all because it's just so. So laggy.
How is that the case? Sure, I mean, I'm no expert in software, but surely just a menu.
Menus don't need to be that flashy.
They're made of static things.
It's crazy. I don't know how they've made the menu. I heard that perhaps it was maybe created as some sort of in-game object that's rendered there in front of you, rather than just like a UI. I don't really, you know.
She could tell you.
Not a game developer.
No.
But it was unplayable when, you know, when people were going into even just the vending machines. You'd press square to go into the vending machine and it would just be like, we're in. It was just shocking, really.
It's a shame.
It's a real shame. And it's something I sincerely hope they can fix, or at least are able to patch in perhaps even just an alternative for the menu.
Yeah.
It's like, would you like a stripped back menu? Yes.
That works.
I don't want this.
We've said this
it's
before.
So slow.
I think I might have said it last week when we were talking about this. How does that get past QA? Surely someone opened the goddamn menu when they were testing the game. I do not understand.
No, me
and
neither.
You play it on a pro as well.
I do.
And it still doesn't
on performance mode.
And it still doesn't work properly.
It's laggy in single player when you're in and out of menus, and that lag is multiplied tenfold when you're in split screen, because it actively affects the other person playing, because they, even if they're not in a menu, and if you're both in menus. it's
Rip.
Unbelievable. I've still only had one crash, actually.
Okay.
Which is kind of surprising, but I've had some long pauses.
Mm-hmm.
And when you first load in split screen, sometimes none of the textures are there for a considerable amount of time, and the map and the UI and stuff it's sort of there on a, even that doesn't have textures. It's there on sort of a base level. There's the shape of a map.
Yeah.
But you're not on it. it's weird stuff. It's all performance stuff. Which is astonishing, because I really like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I like the game. I like the story. I like the characters. I like what, you know, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
But it's just the performance issues are shocking. And there was a patch for it as well the other week that didn't seem to do anything. So I'm hoping, I think the PC version might be in worse shape.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be what they're prioritizing. But I really hope that the PS4 version gets a patch soon, because I am kind of... I'm a bit miffed, Peter.
Oh, I'm a bit miffed.
A bit miffed. But it's still a good game. Still enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's time for another question.
It is.
This question comes from Peter.
Gutter Snipe. Oh, God, it gets worse every time.
Shivers down my spine.
I heard that word, just someone used it in a non-triple jump context the other day. I think it was on telly or something. Someone went, you dirty gutter snipe. I was like, oh.
You sure you weren't watching the Call of Duty G-Spots and there was someone hiding in a gutter, but
yeah,
a drain?
Yeah, with a gutter sniper rifle.
Oh, and that's a shockingly good gutter snipe.
No scope.
Yes.
Gutter Snipe asks... Says, hi lads, I'm about to get a platinum for Brawlhalla without spending a penny, mwahahaha, and was wondering
your thoughts
on free-to-play console games. Perhaps there's something to take advantage of, or are they at the forefront of microtransaction hell? I'll let you decide. Cheers, and all the best. Gutter-snippy.
Thank you, Gutter-snippy.
Thank you.
Free-to-play games, they scare me. I don't like them, because I'd rather... It's just like... I know that their origins largely, at least the modern-day version of a free-to-play game, lie in iPhone games.
Mobile, yeah.
Mobile games, because that's a very monetizable model and you can make a lot of money from it.
Mm-hmm.
However, when it comes to games, I would... And the same with iPhone games. I would rather there be a premium version available so I don't have to sit through all this... This nonsense, this gated stuff, this cool down timers before you can do certain things. Now, not all games are like that,
no.
But a lot of them are. And I think if you say you're going free to play, there is a substantial amount of baggage that goes with that, and a lot of prejudice, perhaps, because people think free to play and they don't think necessarily Fortnite.
Yeah.
They think, God, I don't know. Farmville or something like that.
Dungeon Keeper.
Mobile.
Whatever it was called.
Well, you've got to wait for hours.
Like a day.
Before you can carry on playing again. Or that Harry Potter game on mobile.
That's
Do you remember
a shame,
that one?
Isn't it? Yeah.
With the... Where there's that famous screenshot of the child that you play as getting strangled or asphyxiated by some kind of plant. And oops, you've run out of energy for the day. Come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, your child's being strangled in horrific fashion.
By some devil's snare or something.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree. Like, you know, immediately you kind of, it's a bit of a dirty word, isn't it? You think, oh, well, there's loads of like loot crates in that, and oh, pay to win, gross. But you know, you think of something like Team Fortress 2, that's free to play now. Anyway, it didn't start free to play, but they just do the old cosmetic hats deal instead, which is always a good way to do it, I think. And yeah, also some games, even like mobile games that are free to play, they have mechanics in place that maybe you can buy a bit more of the in-game currency to like buy power-ups and stuff, but they might not be, there might be something you can live without. Like, I've got one that I sometimes play when I'm just on a train or whatever, where it's a bit Tetris-y, but you have complete freedom of movement rather than like on a grid system, and you just drop a load of shapes and you have to make the tallest tower.
So it's almost tricky, like towers.
It might be called tricky. It's something towers, yeah. Okay. But it's like inverse Tetris. Instead of trying to delete lines, you're trying to get it as high as possible. Mm-hmm. And there's various powers you can get there. You earn a little bit of in-game currency every time you play, or if you want to watch an ad, you can do that. Or you can just pay for the in-game currency. Mm-hmm. But all you do is spend that on either cosmetic stuff, I think, or powers that allow you to like rotate the shape or like do certain things. And I'm like, I'm fine without it. I get enough pleasure out of that game just trying to stack blocks in the most like vanilla form of the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as it's not really trying to force something down your throat by basically making the game unplayable, like Dungeon Keeper or Pokemon, and saying, hey, you better pay, otherwise you're not playing this again for another 24 hours, then, you know, they just have to be thoughtful about it. So it's not inherently a bad thing.
What did Pokemon do?
Pokemon. Sorry, did I just say Pokemon? What was I thinking of? No, Dungeon Keeper and Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Yeah, okay, sorry. Right. Yeah, same thing.
I was thinking about.
They've both got an electric Pikachu mouse in it.
Yeah. And no, I was thinking because there's that new Harry Potter Pokemon Go game, which I don't think is bad on the microtransactions.
You can get some Snuffle Puffs and some Gnort.
Yeah.
Gnort boys.
Gnorts. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing though. I suppose your example there, it's less insidious when it's a mobile game because you're just dipping into it for like an hour here and there, like maybe once a week, maybe less often than that.
Yeah.
I think I mean fewer often.
You do.
Whereas if, you know, with a console game, you've got to sit down and play. That can be really obstructive to you actually playing it and enjoying it. Now, it sounds like Brawlhalla, it's interesting that it has a platinum because a lot of free-to-play games don't.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not familiar with that game, but it sounds like it's actually free-to-play done right, and it is possible. The only free-to-play game I've ever played properly is DC Universe Online, which I played way back in the early days of the PS4's release, so years ago now, a few years ago. And I actually opted to pay for a membership because that's how they did it. You could play the entire game for free if you wanted, or you could get a membership because that's how you got trophies in the game.
Oh.
And the trophy seemed somewhat obtainable, and it was cross-save and therefore cross-platinum on PS3 and PS4.
Okay.
So if you got the platinum on one, you got the platinum on the other, so you got two platinums for one, basically.
Nice.
And that was a decent model. You know, MMOs have been doing free-to-play for quite a while, a lot of them, and they seem to work okay. DC Universe Online seemed to work okay, but in general, I think if it has free-to-play on it and it's a console game, I tend to either do research or just avoid it altogether.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Like, I think, you know, on console, in my opinion, it should just be cosmetic for the most part. Or even unobtrusive ads. I mean, you don't really see ads on console free-to-play games. But, you know, if a free-to-play game is going to do ads, I prefer them if they're just sort of banner ads down the edge rather than a video that comes up in your face and it's like you'll be able to skip this in 15 seconds. Like, if I'm playing a game, I don't want that getting in the way.
No,
but yeah, I think as long as, you know, just being thoughtful and they're not trying to make you wait like 2 days so that you really feel like you have to spend money. Or again, like you say, I would almost rather with some of these games just pay like $2.99 or like, you know, Fiverr, and then just
I've got a version now that I can actually play.
Yeah, and not have to worry about
not be interrupted all the time.
Free to play related mechanics. Yeah.
So those are our thoughts on free to play games.
Yeah.
Let us know what you thinks. Let us know what you thinks.
Use thinks
in the comments or wherever it is that you're listening. Let us know.
I think a weird thing is about to happen.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's odd, because I don't.
Oh.
Let's move on to normal, regular news.
This just in. Yeah.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Oh, it's another lie. It's weird news time. It's weird news time. What's it time for, Peter?
It's time for weird news. It's
time for weird news.
Last week, or the week before, I did a thing about Red Dead. You remember the zombie lady?
Yes.
Might have been 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got more Red Dead news this week.
Oh, my goodness. Good news. Oh,
weird
news.
Weird Red Dead news. This is according to Kotaku. I've not done a Kotaku one for a little while. Zvicen, who says, a large group of Red Dead Online players try to carry bowls of soup across the entire map. So this is a strange thing that everyone goes, there's a photo of them all together there.
Oh, wow.
Loads of them.
All posing with their soup.
Dozens of them with their soups.
What was your hot take on soup again from Main Menu, that episode we did on soup?
It's something like it's trying to be food, but it isn't, or something like that.
I don't really rate soup. I don't think it really knows what it wants to be.
That was it.
That's Peter Austin's take on soup.
It's like, am I a drink? No. Am I a food? Apparently, but no.
This guy.
Yeah. Walking across large open world maps has been done many times and has even been documented numerous times on this very site.
Whoa!
Oh.
That's mad.
But walking across an entire map carrying a big old bowl of stew? Now that is something you don't see every day. That was the odd objective of a recent meet and walk attended by... That's hyphenated.
Meet and walk.
Meet and walk.
Mm-hmm.
M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T.
Oh, okay.
I know they're having stew, but... Meet and walk, attended by a large group of Red Dead Online players, also known as walk meets. These are events where large groups of players get together and walk around to various locations, encountering animals, criminals, and other obstacles along the journey. This soup walk was filmed by Reddit user Slonitram.
Okay.
And set up by Red Dead Online player Zoobs.
Okay.
So, more than 20 players met up at a campfire in the southwest area of the large Red Dead Online map and made some stew. Then, each player grabbed a hot bowl of soup and began the long walk across the world. One major problem players dealt with on the walk was server issues. Rather than, you know, cougars or whatever.
Right.
Red Dead Online will constantly kick players. This is something I experience nearly every day I play Red Dead Online. It is annoying, and it also means that when you log back into the game, you no longer have your bowl of stew.
Oh, no.
And nobody wants to lose soup that way, it says.
Is it soup, stoop or soup?
I think he's just trying not to. You know when you're writing, you don't want to keep saying the same word. They're not quite synonymous, though, are they?
No,
really?
They're not. They're very different.
Yeah. Stew does know what it wants to be, I would say.
Okay, whatever, Peter. Soup doesn't. Leave soup alone.
But server problems weren't the only danger players faced on their long soup walk. bounty hunters, runaway horses, other players who weren't part of the walk, and basically any other danger normally found in Red Dead Online.
It's just a gif of a really fast train going
it
past.
It got really bad.
Oh my god, are they all getting hit by trains?
Yeah.
Why didn't they move?
I don't
know. They all stood there waiting to be hit with their soup.
I feel like maybe they sort of said, we're just going to walk, and if a train comes, then the train
comes.
I'm
just going to keep swinging my fists.
We'll get to that. Any other danger normally found in Red Dead Online caused the walkers headaches. At one point, a large portion of the group was taken out by a train. And then it just says, the hazards of soup walking.
Yes.
Fragment, consider revising.
That's true.
So here's a proper look at...
Oh, that's at least 7 or 8 of them dead there.
Yeah.
Just plowed down by a train.
Soup spilt. Making this challenge harder... What? Making this challenge harder... Oh, I see. Making this challenge harder is that to keep the soup, players can only walk. You can't get on a horse, run, or grab a ride on a wagon. And you can only walk so fast, which means a train can hit you if you ain't careful, it says.
No.
Over the course of the walk, many players ended up losing their stew, and eventually a new camp was set up, and more stew was handed out. Also, for some reason, some players at this point in the walk started to carry large fish with them. Eventually, as players continued to lose their stew bowls, people switched to carrying dead bodies. Why? I don't know. Not even Slonitram, the person filming the walk, had a good reason for the change. Eventually, the large group reached their destination on the east coast of the map and celebrated by getting drunk and seeing a movie. Slonitram, I always say his name like that, it's just a strange word, has also tried to carry stew across the map alone and has documented those adventures on their channel. Red Dead Online might not have enough content for some players and the servers might still be a mess, but at least it has stew. We can all be happy about that.
Sounds like there's plenty of stuff to do.
Yeah.
If most of a server is carrying bowls of soup across the map.
Or sometimes fish or dead bodies.
Yeah. Wow, that was weird.
An adventure that people have all shared together because
I enjoyed it.
There's bugger all else functional content on
that. I played a little bit of Red Dead Online and then didn't go back to it.
I mean, we didn't even really... like Red Dead
single
player.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of Red Dead full stop, so, well, there we are.
Yeah.
Thanks, Peter.
You're welcome.
We now go to Polygon.
Okay.
This comes from Nicole Carpenter. Streamer creates where... Oh, I didn't talk about Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, that you played.
Oh,
what are you playing?
I played it from start to finish on stream, and it was absolutely delightful.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, you know, I know it's sort of in the zeitgeist at the moment. A lot of people are playing it, but if you can play it, it's about 2 hours long, and it's really good.
Yeah.
It's a really lovely little game. You should
always talk about it next week.
No, it's too late.
What you play in 2 weeks ago?
I finished it anyway, so I'll forget all about it. Thank you to House for sending us a code as well.
Thank you, House.
Really, really, really good game. Go play it.
Pretty.
Anyway. Streamer creates wearable goose suit to play Untitled Goose Game.
Oh. Wearable goose suit, as opposed to just goose suit.
There he is.
Okay.
You see him?
He's all got his arms wrapped up.
He's swaddled up. He looks like he's wearing flippers.
Yeah.
And he's got a beak on.
Yeah.
He's got his Tracy beak on.
A bill.
I mean, if he hurts himself, sure. Mm. But it'll cost him a lot. Dylan Rudism?
Yeah.
Dylan Rudism Beck, the Twitch streamer who plays games wrong, created a wacky controller to play developer House's Untitled Goose Game. In a live stream a couple of days ago, Rudism showed off his latest creation, himself, as a goose, wearing a rig that helps him play Untitled Goose Game. Here's how it works. Movement is tied to the flippers on his feet, but he controls direction through a thumbstick. To move, he has to walk in place, hobbling like a goose. A pair of white gloves are rigged to control the goose's wings. If he wants to flap his goose's wings, he needs to flap his own wings. Naturally, Rudism has a white sheet he's draped over himself to give himself a more goose-like appearance.
But he's like squatting down. Like, imagine having to flop around on the spot all night.
It looks really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But in Untitled Goose Game, one of the more important controls is the honk. For that, Rudism created a voice-activated beak that he strapped to his face. Weirdly enough, there is blood all over the beak.
Oh my god.
But was being quite coy about how he injured himself during the creation process. If it sounds complex, that's because it is. Rudism had to strap himself into the controllers in a process that takes quite a long time. At the 25-minute mark of his video, Rudism was able to start playing Untitled Goose Game. Oh. Unfortunately for Rudism, it's an extremely tiring way to experience the game, and after a while, he had to switch from his squatting position to a chair where he was still able to stomp his feet to move.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
His Goose controller lasted about an hour before it broke, so he moved on to another one of his creations, the Rocket League guitar controller.
Right.
Thankfully, Rudism wrote on Twitter that he'll fix up the Goose's wiring and do more Untitled Goose Game this week.
Wonderful. That sounds like a good channel. I love things like that, where people are just completely break the rules with gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to load up a little clip here.
I'm going to have to check that guy out and see if he's done any... There he is.
Look at him.
He's just all swaddled up in a...
Oh, wow.
Whack. They don't whack. They honk.
Oh, my God.
So as he's making that... Oh, wow. He's flapping his arms and the goose is flapping.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
And he's saying honk and it's honking. And he's just waddling in place. That's fantastic.
That's really good. Well done, him.
Well done, Rudism.
Yeah.
And thank you, Polygon, for bringing that to our attention
as
well.
Yes, thank you, Polygon.
Fantastic. Well, that was some weird news, wasn't it?
It was.
What a great laugh.
Weird things have happened.
Didn't we all have a good laugh?
Yeah.
Let's move on to a question.
Let's.
This is from Espurious.
Espurious.
Very generous donator and supporter of the channel. Mm. What's your favorite gaming peripheral, whether you owned it or not? Funny looking joysticks, monstrous add-ons for the Game Boy, etc.
Mine is the goose costume for Untitled Goose.
Rudism's goose costume.
Yeah. In terms of official ones, I got three here that sort of slot into different categories.
Tell me.
I think the one that looks the best, without a doubt, and I've mentioned it on a previous podcast, is the Resident Evil 4 chainsaw controller. It looks amazing. It doesn't even make sense because Leon never wields a chainsaw at any point. Only his enemies do. But for some reason, you're using a chainsaw controller.
Of course.
It's really unergonomic, but it just looks good. I think it even, citation needed, I think it makes sounds as well.
Beep, whip.
I think.
Oh, I can't read it.
Oh.
It's too high up.
Okay.
Science Facts is slotted in, but I can't see it. So.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm sure I've heard that. Maybe I'm just conflating. Maybe there's a separate toy that does it. I don't know.
Maybe if you quack, it revs.
Yeah, if you honk, it flaps its wings in the game.
Yes.
I think in terms of like what it added to the industry, the N64 Rumble Pack, that was the first ever vibrating controller, and now it's just a standard that we all expect. Mm-hmm. And it would be really weird if there was a controller release that didn't rumble.
Wouldn't it, PS3?
Yeah, PS3.
Wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? In terms of ridiculousness,
yeah.
Have you seen the GameCube keyboard controller?
Oh, I don't think I have.
Imagine you take a GameCube controller.
Mm-hmm. Bit of a bulky boy.
Saw it in half.
Yeah.
And just put it onto the
side
of a keyboard.
So sort of like a Switch, but
a full-sized, a giant QWERTY keyboard with like F keys and a numpad, a space bar.
No.
It's not even, you know, specially designed. It's not like a little BlackBerry keyboard. It's like a 60 centimeter.
What's that for?
I don't know. To type into the game for some reason, rather than just use the D-pad.
That's bizarre.
Do you remember when people were attaching a USB keyboard to Tony Hawk's... It might have been American Wasteland. Or no, maybe it was an older game than that. But people were putting a USB keyboard into their PS3. And by typing in loads and loads of like forward slashes, they were able to break the character limit on sending messages, and receiving one of those messages would crash your PS3.
Oh, no.
Even if you didn't open it. So people were just trolling each other by sending like loads and loads and loads of really long messages just with forward slashes in them.
It was like that text that people were sending around on iPhones that would just completely wreck your phone.
Oh, I don't know.
Brick your phone. Supposedly, it would break your phone if you received that text.
Oh my God.
That was an interesting time.
Wow.
Madness. I've gone a little bit more, this is legitness. The Light Boy for the Game Boy. Now, I didn't have an actual Light Boy because of, you know, you don't get anything branded, do you, as a kid?
Unless... Is that the one, like the sort of awning?
Yeah, the one that folds over and shines a light so you can actually see in the dark while you're playing.
Yeah.
I had one, I think my cousin gave me, after he'd used it for a considerable amount of time, almost to the point where it was broken, where it had these sort of, almost like the ones that let you read at night, with a sort of twisty, bendy arms, with a tiny little bulb on the end that you would just sort of point at the screen, like two little spotlights. I had one of those, and it was just such a game changer.
Really?
Being able to see in the dark what you're playing. I still think backlit technology is still just so fascinating and amazing. Not fascinating. I'm not like a caveman. But
you understand how it works.
I understand the physics of it.
Yeah.
It's not magic, but it's just... I remember car rides trying to play my Game Boy in the dark. And just not like... Yeah, not being able to at all. Mm. It's like going through... the tunnel in Pokemon Blue, you know, the big tunnel, and you can't see anything without using flash, so
yes,
really hard.
And when you're playing Pokemon Blue in the dark, it's just doubly difficult when you're going through the tunnel.
You can't even see your buttons.
You can't see twice.
No, it's twice as not see.
It's what they call a double blind test in the medical industry.
That is science. Mm. That is a science. Yeah, so that's amazing, and I like screens with lights on the back of them. I remember getting I bought my friend's Game Boy Advance SP, which obviously has a backlit screen, and then I could play all my Game Boy games with a backlit screen. I was like, this is just the best thing ever. I love it. So yeah, I think the Light Boy is probably my favorite.
I had one peripheral. Of those. I had a Game Boy Color, and being the ungrateful little shoot. I was.
Got to snipe.
I didn't really play it that much. Well, I had three games for it, and I played those, but I never went out of my way to buy any more. So, you know, there's only limited things I could do on it. But it came with... My parents got it for me for Christmas, I think, and they must have got some kind of bumper pack that came with a bunch of things. It had, like, a little carry case. I think it was, like, a bum bag or a fanny pack, as they say.
Yeah.
And then, like, a big, chunky, foldable... It wasn't, like, a bendy... reading light. It was like this big thing that slotted on and just had two right angled hinges with like a, it was like a big magnifying glass on the top and then lights on the side.
That is something that I should probably buy for my collection, but I limited myself to merchandise that was officially branded as Nintendo.
Right.
Because there was a lot of third party stuff that included, which I think Espirus is referring to as, monstrous add-ons for the Game Boy. That one is...
It was monstrous.
It's huge. You'd like slot your Game Boy into it and it's like double the size.
And it was orange. I had like a sort of purpley Game Boy Color and then just this big orange thing attached to it. It was horrible.
Hideous. But I didn't buy that in the end. All my, as you can attest to. And also on my Instagram at BenPotter20, I've posted all my Game Boy stuff that I've got. And I bought all of the official... add-ons and accessories for the original Game Boy.
Right.
And sadly, that's not one of them because it doesn't have the Nintendo branding on it. It's just Game Boy accessory.
Oh, they must have bought it separately then. Because I'm sure it came with my Game Boy, and I don't know why my parents would have got that unless...
Some sort of bundle from Game or Electronics Boutique possibly. Or something.
Get the official console and also some cheap
and
stuff.
And also some really crap stuff. Well, to be fair, that's the first thing I tend to do with... I tend not to do it with PlayStation because I want the stuff that's going to last.
Mm.
But certainly when we got that Switch,
I
wanted a carry case of some kind so I could actually take it places, and I went straight on eBay and just bought the cheapest carry case that I could because it's just a little case
where the zip just detaches from itself within like a week.
It's sort of similar to wrapping it in cling film and hoping for the best. That's that. It's time, Peter.
From the small, tiny little Game Boy Color friend with its giant... chunky peripheral. It's time for a gianterer discussion.
Big discussion.
We didn't do any.
There we go. It's big discussion time.
Or for the news.
It was normal news, wasn't it?
True.
It was another lie.
We don't need notes or papers for normal news because it's all just up there.
Hello, my name is Hugh Discussion.
Yeah.
And I've got a question that I've brought all the way from Victoria Pennington.
Yeah, Batman's butler, Alfred Pennington.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And my friend Peter Austin is going to read it for you.
Okay.
Right now.
It's a big one.
Oh, boy.
What are your thoughts on using the likenesses of an actor in a game? Does it take away from your immersion, or is it something you don't tend to notice? For example, the use of Keanu Reeves in Cyberpunk 2077 trailer seemed to make the conversation about Keanu Reeves, not the game. That's true. Mm. Or in your recent sleepover stream of Man of Medan, I couldn't get past immediately recognizing the voice actor and face twin that played Conrad, the skeezy guy who doesn't know how to figure out how far a storm is. Or is it perhaps more about the quality of the actor slash material not being good enough to make you forget that it's being acted? I was never bothered by Ellen Page as Ellie in The Last of Us, it says in this, which we will talk about in a minute. But I didn't think the look, but I didn't think the lookalike was 100%. Yeah. The question has gone all over the place, so I will wrap it up there. As always, you're both fantastic, and I hope you're having a lovely week. Love to you both. Ben?
Yeah.
Why did Victoria Pennington not think that the Ellen Page lookalike was 100%?
Because it weren't her.
It weren't her.
It this weren't was, her, though.
This was the controversy.
Yeah.
Is that Ellen Page said, you've based that character on me.
I don't like it. But why have you done that?
Why you'd gone and done that? But actually...
It weren't her.
It weren't her. So it did look almost 100%, but not quite 100%.
They changed it in the end as well.
Well, yeah, they did actually.
They changed how Ellie looked.
They de-paged her. But she was played by Ashley Johnson.
Yeah.
Both face and voice.
Who won a BAFTA for it. For her role as Ellie.
Well, they should have asked us about that, really.
They should have asked Ellen Page, I think, mainly.
Well, I'm just saying we're an expert on BAFTA.
Well, gaming. There's no Nazis in that game, so when there are.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see in The Last of Us 2. There might be some.
I can say almost certainly.
Yeah.
That we will. Never go back to BAFTA again.
No.
Not because of any wrongdoing, just because that opportunity will never be granted to us ever again.
Yeah, we will never be in the right circles, you know, or in the right company where they'll say, oh, should we ring up Triple Jump and see if... It's not personal to us. I don't think BAFTA... Say we did miraculously end up in a company that frequently sent BAFTA reps... I don't think they go, oh, wait, hang on, no. We were going to ask this company, but it's the Nazi boy.
They're the guys who sit with their hands crossed in front of them because they've never done a live stream quite so terrifying before.
Because they've been working for that channel for 3 weeks and now they're on actual BAFTA.
They're on BAFTA.
Help. Help.
We've been employed by Yogscast for 12 days.
We're now representing them on probably a globally watched live stream.
I did get a lot of Facebook messages after that, though, from people I worked in game development from, just saying, what the hell were you doing there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nice
I wore
hot
my
takes
only
on the
shoes that were smart.
Under the table. Nice hot takes on the Nazi party, though. Down with them. You're all right to kick them.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so what we were talking about, Ellen Page.
So this is something we did talk about in one of our earlier podcasts, I think it's somewhere in the first 5 or 10, I stated quite strongly that I actually have a bit of an issue with seeing recognizable actors' faces in video games, and I can't really understand why it is. Because I see an actor's face, less so if I just hear their voice, like say if it's Stephen Fry narrating something, or like, you know, John Cleese has done a few video games. I can get by with that just about. But when I see someone's face, I can't help but just see the actor, as opposed to when I'm watching a movie. I don't go, oh, look, that's actual Tom Cruise jumping out of a plane. I go, no, it's the character's name out of Mission Impossible, whose name I've forgotten.
Tom Cruise.
No,
his name is Mr. It's Mission Impossible.
Yeah, Mr. Yeah.
Who's your favorite Mission Impossible character? Oh, it's got to be Mission Impossible from Mission Impossible.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm able to separate those on my head, but I think the issue lies in, or the mishu lies in the fact that...
I think you mean fewer.
Yeah. You're scanning in, or in the olden days, just sort of trying to make it look like an actor. And because it looks a bit uncanny, my brain is going like, oh, that looks a bit like Tom Cruise. Or
PS2 Fahrenheit David Cage is my favorite.
Right, yeah.
It does. It's just a balding man.
Yeah. I think if they looked perfect, which, you know, they won't do for probably still a long time because there'll always be a bit of uncanniness, then I would probably be able to get by it. Like, what was that live action game that's just come out called?
Erica.
Erica. I probably would have been fine with that. I mean, partly because she's not that famous, whatever her name is, I've forgotten.
But God, yeah, Erica.
Yeah, Erica, you know, that one.
Yeah.
But I did recognize her from like Skins and stuff, and I think I would have been fine because she's an actress and that's her actual face.
I've never seen her before in my life.
She was in Doctor Who as well. But, you know, she was captured with a camera and it was her actual self. But, you know, if they'd sort of just tried to make her a person in a game out of polygons, I would have been put off. You don't have as much of a problem with it though, right?
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I must admit. And I think, honestly, it's the oversaturation of the Golden Trio. Troy Baker, Nolan North, and...
the one who plays all the women.
Yeah, the one who played Laura Bailey.
Laura Bailey.
Who plays all the women. I think they're all extremely talented and incredible performers. But now that they've started to do likenesses, it's for some reason it's more jarring to see Troy Baker's likeness in Metal Gear Solid 5 and in Death Stranding than it is to see Keanu Reeves in Cyberpunk.
Right.
I understand the argument for sure that both you and Victoria are making in that it sort of distracts from the actual game. But I still think it's quite exciting when a big sort of movie star does a game. I think there's a novelty to it because they're not in every game. Whereas these guys are in every game.
Right.
And they can do great stuff. Troy Baker does not sound like Troy Baker when he's playing Joel. Nolan North does not sound like Nolan North when he's playing that horrible, horrible man that he played in The Last of Us.
Right.
But it seems that they are more often than not asked to play the sort of characters that people are most familiar with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, most familiar with. So you'll find Nolan North sounding like Nolan North in an awful lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
And most people will think Nolan North is synonymous with Uncharted. But then you start hearing Nathan Drake pop up in Destiny. And then you start hearing Nathan Drake pop up in countless other games, you know? And it's happening. It's getting... I don't have a huge problem with that, but it is getting harder to sort of not stomach the games, but suspend your disbelief where it's like, ah, it's Troy Baker again.
But why is... although I try to justify it in my answer, why is that? Because you see Martin Freeman in a TV show or a film, and you don't really think, oh, that's Martin Freeman. Oh, can't get that out of my head. It's Martin Freeman. No, it's not. It's just the character he's playing. I don't understand why that happens, though.
Maybe it's something to do with the differences in the mediums of, like, TV and film and video games, because video games you're more involved perhaps and they're much longer, and they perhaps, I mean, I know it's an actor's responsibility to portray a role and disappear into that role, but Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man for a lot of people, and if you see him in other stuff they might think, you know, some younger viewers might think, oh, what, Iron Man's in this? Mm. Oh, that's interesting. But most people are able to think that's Robert Downey Jr. and, you know, he's an actor and he does stuff.
Yeah.
But when it comes to games, perhaps there's enough of a difference where, especially when you're seeing the same three people over and over again, it's not so bad with Laura Bailey. It's mainly her voice that is all over the place. I don't think she's probably mo-captured a lot of stuff, but I'm not actually sure what she looks like. But I know what Nolan North looks like, and I know what Troy Baker looks like, because as performance capture increases in quality and facial capture as well, the characters they portray look more and more like them, which in these disparate video game worlds and universes where there's all these people who look very similar to each other.
And they're kind of similar characters anyway.
They don't need to look like them. Mm. It's not necessary for them to look exactly like Troy Baker. It can sound like Troy Baker, or Troy Baker can do a voice, which we know he can do. And again, they're all very talented people. But you don't have to make it look like him.
Yeah.
Because video games offer you the opportunity for belief to be completely suspended, and they can look like anybody.
Definitely. That's a big difference for me. As I say, when I see someone's face, it's a visual thing that I find distracting. If it's just John Cleese's voice, You know, I can still hear that it's John Cleese. Of course I can. Or Stephen Fry or whoever. But it doesn't bother me as much. In the same way that... can't we do names today? Who did Gollum?
Yes, I know who you're talking about. The guy.
The guy who does all the mocap in movies, or certainly did for a long period of time.
I'm just going to look it up. Yeah, it's gone from my head as well.
Why can't I remember his name? Andy Serkis.
Yes, it was Andy Serkis.
We got him. Andy
Sorry,
Serkis.
Carry on.
But, you know, when he does a voice, usually they completely change his face, you know. Snoke doesn't look like Andy Serkis.
No. That chimp man doesn't look like Andy Serkis.
No, the chimp man doesn't. I think Gollum does to an extent because the because Smeagol was played by him,
yes,
live
that's
action,
true.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, Andy Serkis doesn't look like Andy Serkis when he plays someone. And I don't really think, oh, that's Andy Serkis when I hear him, because unless I know it is because I've seen, like, promotional stuff, I don't always notice it because he's quite a talented man at, you know, doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's just something about seeing someone's face. And I think maybe you're right in the terms of like the involvement in the medium. Like maybe it's a bit like when you're watching a movie or a TV show, you're kind of sitting back as an observer. Whereas with a video game, although you're still sitting on your sofa and looking at a screen, you're kind of in there in a way. You right. have a role, like you're playing one of the characters in that world. Mm-hmm. And it is almost like you are actually standing there in that scene. And it's like you're standing there and standing in front of you is a recognizable face.
Right.
You know, and it's almost, you know, it's kind of equivalent to getting starstruck. Like if you were sitting in a cafe and, you know, Keanu Reeves walked in, you'd be like, oh, it's Keanu Reeves.
And then he'd do the hover hand thing.
Yeah, he would, yeah. Oh, you're breathtaking. So in the same way that when you're walking around a cyberpunk street and Keanu Reeves walks past you, you kind of go, oh, that's Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
Whereas if you were watching Cyberpunk, the movie on Netflix, you wouldn't think, oh, that's Keanu Reeves. You'd think, oh, no, that's...
Johnny Silverhand.
Johnny Breathtaking.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Breathtakings.
Maybe that's an answer, but it's still a bit of a riddle to me why it bothers me as much as it does when I just don't have an issue with it in movies.
Maybe it's because games have been around so long and it's only in the past 10 years that we've really started to see people in them that we recognize.
True.
I think Keanu Reeves being in Cyberpunk, yes, he's dominated the conversation, but I think it's a marketing masterstroke, to be honest. It's absolutely... probably the most anticipated game in the world, probably.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of games that are up there. The Last of Us Part 2, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Beyond Good and Evil.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say in terms of, if you're looking at views on YouTube, Cyberpunk is ridiculously anticipated, and I would argue that Keanu Reeves has only helped that.
Yeah.
But I still get that, you know, He is distracting from the conversation about the game somewhat, but it's important. He's in it. You know, he's a big part of the game.
Yeah, I think it's good for them marketing-wise. And yeah, you're right that it was a really good move. It's working out very well for them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do kind of think, can we just talk about the game, please? You know, and like, yeah, he's good.
He's
there.
Great. He's very good.
Yeah, he's
doing
in
his
it.
Hover hands.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff.
Let's just see some more footage. Thanks.
But the Golden Trio, though, Nolan North and Troy Baker specifically, love them. Love their work.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. They don't have to be in every game. And if they are, can they please do either crazy voices or not be captured facially, captured in the face area?
Yeah.
Or you can mocap their face. You can do facial capture, but it doesn't have to... You don't have to put their face in the game.
Like Andy
Serkis.
It doesn't
have to be their likeness. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, make them play a frog or something. I don't know.
Yeah, a dragon. Smog.
I'm just sick of seeing Troy Baker mainly.
Yeah.
I keep seeing Troy Baker everywhere and it really annoys me. But anyway, that's that question. Thank you very much, Victoria, for that. Let us know what your thoughts are on people being in games and if it's distracting. And I'd be interested to hear what you think about it.
Yeah.
What you think about it. What are some ways, PR, where people can get in touch or like check us out?
Content-wise, people can check us out on youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump.
Yeah.
That's where we do our videos and streams. And also, if you're listening to the audio version of the podcast, if you're watching the video version, you can listen to an audio version at play.acast.com/s/TripleJump. That's all of our content there. In terms of social medias,
yeah,
you've got Twitter, Facebook.com and Facebook.com / Team Triple Jump.
Yeah.
And on the subject of our socials and content, I would like to thank Luke Eldon, who just single-handedly makes our Facebook not a desolate wasteland.
Thank you, Luke.
And we've got some mods who sort out our chats and things when we're streaming. Mm-hmm. Lord Brotovich and Cecil Prumps. You're doing the Lord's and ladies or girls' work.
Or girls' work.
We've got a Patreon. Patreon.com/ Team Triple Jump. Various rewards, including worst games early.
Yeah.
Questions for the podcast, things like that. The website is triplejud.mup, where we've got a store and stuff. And finally, one of the rewards on Patreon is that you get a special room in our Discord. And we do a voice chat once a month with Discorders.
Discordians.
Of a certain tier. bit.ly/ Team Triple Jump for that, for the Discord. And Jack Bradshaw is the mod there, also doing a man or woman's work.
Yes, or both.
Yeah.
Both of the works. That Discord as well, by the way, you can just join it.
Mm.
You don't have to be a Patreon supporter to join it.
No, it's just there's a special room.
There's a special room within it for patrons of a certain tier.
And an even specialer room for patrons of a...
of an even certainer tier.
Yes, where we talk to people.
Absolutely. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do at @ThatPeterAustin and at @Confused_Dude. On Instagram, at @ThatPeterAustin and at @BenPotter20. You right?
Yeah. Just Instagram is a loud one. Well, it wasn't...
Oh, sorry.
Decibelly loud. It was just
excited.
Tonally loud.
Oh, okay.
On Instagram.
On Instagram. How's that?
Yeah, that's okay.
On Instagram.
And we don't undersell it.
Oh, okay. On Instagram.
Perfect.
Better?
Yeah.
Instagram. Lists. We do those every Tuesday and Thursday. We did a big list this week, Peter.
Oh, Nelly.
It's the release of the Sega Mega Drive/Sega Genesis Mini in Europe. It's been out in America for a couple of weeks now.
Mm.
And we've got another long list, courtesy of our fantastic writer, Philip Reed.
Oh,
and
he's good.
Our wonderful in-office good boy, James, who's
also
been working crazy hard.
Very good.
On editing that together. We pitched in at the last minute. Poor Peter had to record a very, very long voiceover again.
I mean, you do some long ones. I don't know why I always moan about it and you don't.
Well, yours so far have been significantly longer than mine. Yeah, you've done a couple of 60-something entries and mine are like sort of 40, so it's not so bad. We've got a mammoth one planned for the end of the year as well, so keep an eye out for that. However, it is available right now. It's every Sega Mega Drive / Sega Genesis mini game ranked from worst to best. And that includes all the different regions, because the different regions, West, Asia, and Japan, they have different games on them.
They do.
So please go and watch that if you're interested in picking it up. And we'll tell you exactly what each game is and whether it's worth your time and if you can even play it.
It's a Laura Games.
Yeah.
As Cilla Black would say.
Exactly.
Rest in peace, Cilla Black.
Rip.
This
is the Cilla Black cast now.
Yeah.
So go please and watch that.
Mm.
It's also a Worst Games Ever week, as if that wasn't enough. So Worst Games Ever went out yesterday for patrons of a certain tier, and it goes out on Sunday for everyone else. The podcast, of course, is every Saturday. We do streams every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
Day,
thank you. Monday and Tuesday are on Twitch, and they are our solo streams. And Thursday is a joint Blaze It stream on YouTube. We were actually joined by Ross this week from Cultaholic, who've just passed 500,000 subscribers, we should say. Congratulations to Cultaholic.
Fantastic.
We're hot on their heels. So close. Oh, I'm so tired. And
less than a tenth.
And we played some FIFA, and it was good fun. So please watch that VOD as well when that goes out, which should be soon. Finally, leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice. It helps something to do with algorithms. And we're going to be at EGX in a couple of weeks' time. As we've said before, we'll be there on the Thursday and for a bit of the Friday. We're going to be very busy, but I believe if you hop into that Discord and ask about, someone's trying to organize some kind of meetup for Triple Jump viewers. If you're interested and you want to say hi to people who also enjoy the channel, we'll hopefully bump into as many of you as possible.
Yeah.
So hop into that Discord if you would like to find out more information. bit.ly/ Team Triple Jump.
Mm-hmm.
One last sponsor.
Okay.
For Kratos' beard oil. It's full of Spartan rage. It makes your beard grow big. You do the hover hands with your boy child and also infanticide slash mariticide, which is what it's called when you murder your married partner.
Your wood spouse.
Sorry?
It's like a woodlouse.
Oh, your wood spouse.
Yeah.
Also, we don't know what happened to his wife in the new one, so it could also cause you to then kill your second wife.
Yeah.
I can't say for sure, but, you know, it's a risk.
Dude's
but
got previous.
It's a really good beard, though. Mm. So maybe use the oil. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a convincing ad read. Thank you very much for watching / listening. Everybody will be back in a week's time. Have a lovely weekend. Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.